When I arrived at the university that morning, I walked into the chemistry lab. No one was there. I did not hesitate in my mission. Somehow, I got into the locked cupboard where the chemicals were stored. I pored over shelf after shelf until I came to some packets marked poison. I grabbed several of them and stuffed them into my pockets. I couldn't think of any reason to stop. I swallowed the entire contents as quickly as I could. I was rushed to the emergency room at Wellington Hospital. Much of what followed is a haze to me. When I awoke, my mother was beside me. A day or so later, a man named Fred David came by to visit. As Fred stood over my bed, he could see I was in no shape to talk. So he turned to my mother and handed her a Bible. She opened it to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. It told of Jesus in conversation with the Apostle Thomas. She looked down at the page and began with this sentence: "Because I live, you also will live." The words hit me like a ton of bricks. "Live?" "Mom," I interjected, "please, read it again." This life sounded very different from ordinary life. I had no real idea about what it all meant and no idea of the context of the words. All I knew was that it spoke of something beyond what I had experienced. I had been in the hospital for 5 days when the attending doctor came to sign my discharge papers. "We can make you live again by getting the poison out," the doctor said, "but we cannot make you want to live." I let the doctor's question settle in, but I already knew the answer. What Ravi discovered changed his life, and he has gone on to be one of the greatest defenders of Christianity of our time. Continuing discoveries in science, like those in the video we watched, established that there is indeed a God. And his very existence is the primary reason that we should put him first in our life. But beyond the fact that he exists and the fact that he's real, is the fact that he loves us. And that's what gives us such purpose in our lives. The song, "Because He Lives," talks about God sending His Son to die in our place and dying for our sins, and it puts it so well. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. But beyond the fact that He lives and He loves me is the fact that He chose me in spite of who I am and the things that I've done in my life that I regret doing. God knows me even better than I know myself. Matthew 10:30 tells us that even the very hairs of our head are numbered, and some of us are getting fewer and fewer of them, aren't we, Larry? And Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God has made His love clear to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ gave His life for us." God knows me and He knows you personally. If He knows the very hairs of our head, how much more intimate knowledge is that? I don't even know the numbers of my head. He knows what we've done, the things that we regret, and He still loves us. But beyond the fact that He lives, He loves me, and He knows me, one of the greatest reasons that I can think of to make him the center of our life, to put him first in our life, is because he chose me and he chose you. When I was growing up, we used to get together and play baseball at an abandoned field, and we'd get the team captains and they'd start choosing up. There was only one person my age in town, and he didn't play baseball with us, that was littler than I was. I never had to doubt about being chosen. I never was. You know that last player that's there? Okay, I guess we've got Gary. But God chose me. He loved me and he chose me. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 tells us that whoever comes to him, he's already made it part of his purpose to adopt us into his family. Before the creation of the world, he chose us through Christ to be holy and perfect in his presence. Because of his love, he had already decided to adopt us through Jesus Christ. He freely chose to do this. Four of our six children are adopted, and it used to get my goat when people would ask me, well, which are your real children? I always gave them the same answer. There's not a fake one among them. They're all real children. We are not God's fake children. He chose us and he adopted us. Speaking of adoption, life is hard. My wife and I sacrificed to put all six of our children through private school, and we struggled most of the time to make ends meet while they were growing up. We've had our shares of disasters, from our house being destroyed by a tornado to auto wrecks to my near death. Pam has had cancer and survived. We've lost parents and one of our children. When God is in the center of your life and you're putting him first, it doesn't make times like that go away. But they're easier because we know that God cares about the struggles that we're going through. And he is beside us, weeping with us. And one of the things that I alluded to early on when I was talking about God's existence and his love, putting God first in our life makes our life more meaningful. In fact, it's the only thing that gives it meaning. There was an experiment that was conducted at one of the German death camps. And what they did was they had the inmates move this big pile of bricks from one side of the camp to another. Nothing unusual about that. But then they had them take that same pile of bricks and move it back to the other side of the camp. The result even surprised the Germans. When the prisoners realized the purposelessness of what they were doing, it broke the spirit of many of the prisoners. And there were a number of them that threw themselves on the electrified fences surrounding the camp. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 tells us this. And so, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only when I was with you, but even more now that I'm absent, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. And unlike the other things that we do in life, what we do for God, just the little things, have an eternal impact. Revelation 14:13 tells us, blessed, happy are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The fact is, without Him we can do nothing. As John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Why put God first in your life? Because he lives. Because he loves you. Because he knows you. He chose you. He's with you in this life. And he makes it meaningful. And without him, we can do nothing that will last. I wouldn't, and believe me, this is not going to be very long, but I would be remiss if I didn't briefly talk about how to put God first in our lives. It's really just a reflection of the things that we've already talked about. Number one, change your perspective on life. If God is real and there is a heaven and a hell, where does that place everything else in our life? Makes it about yay much important, doesn't it? Return His love and love others. And this is the one place in this where I felt that I couldn't be brief, because this is so important. I want to tell you a story that happened when, I don't know, maybe I was Landon's age, maybe a little older. I'm not sure Ashton or Cameron's age, but was fairly young. My dad saw a rabbit, not a domestic one, just an ordinary desert rabbit that a rattlesnake had cornered and was about to kill. And my dad rushed over and he killed the rattlesnake, putting himself in danger doing it. And then he turned to leave. And that desert rabbit started following him. Dad tried to shoo the rabbit back to make it leave him, and it would not. And finally he stopped, and that wild rabbit came up to Dad and let it pick him up, let him pick it up. Whenever Dad was home, that rabbit would follow Dad around and would sit beside him. And it would hop up at night on Mom and Dad's bed, and it would sleep beside Dad on his pillow. Rabbits, of course, don't live forever, and it was really sad in our family when it died. Does a rabbit have more gratitude, more love for someone that's done something for it than we do? Christ saved us from something far worse than physical death. The Bible says, don't fear the person that can destroy the body. Fear the one that can cast both body and soul into hell. God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want that. He died for us. Yet where is our gratitude to Him? That's the crucial step in putting God first in your life. Loving Him as He deserves to be loved for what He's done for us. And if you love someone, you have a desire to get to know them. God has shown us who He is in His Word. And indeed, in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus was the embodiment of God here. John 14:9 says that if we have seen Him, we have seen the Father. Study God's Word and get to know Him through Jesus. What is the most important thing in your life? If it's not God, make Him the center of your life.
That's what Enoch did. He chose to make God the center of his life. And I like how one translation put it in Genesis 5:24. And Enoch went on in God's ways, and he was not seen again, for God took him. I remember when I was a kid, my dad had all these cool ways of putting things. I remember how Dad put it. Dad said, God and Enoch were out walking, and one day God said, we're nearer my house than yours. Come on home with me. Making God the center of our life is a choice. And it's a choice worth making. So walk with Him. Don't think you'll always get it right or that the way will always be clear and free from trouble. Just know that if you choose to walk with Him, He'll be there with you. I really like what the poem Footprints in the Sand says. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Walk with Him. But use your hands in this world. It's said about Jesus in Acts 10:38 that He went about doing good. To put God first in your life, you need to model yourself around what He did, doing good wherever you can find it. Jesus said in Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, truly I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So what about those that are doing things for God? A cup of water? And we're going to be rewarded for something as simple as that? We have a reward if we follow Christ and we're one of His. If you know He's God, and you know your life hasn't been perfect before Him, then you know you have a problem. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as we've said before, God's not willing that any should perish. And so He left a clear path for anyone to follow. The Bible says that we're saved because of our belief in Him, our repenting of our sins, our confessing Him and our trust in Him before others, and our being buried with Him in baptism, being raised to walk in a new life. We're going to stand and sing a song so that anyone that wants can come, if you haven't been buried with Him, to be buried with Him, to walk in that new life. Or if you want to rededicate your life to God, or you need prayers from the church, won't you come as together we stand and sing.